Thank you, Ian. And thank you for that song. I think that's the first time I've ever heard that one. Such a beautiful message, isn't it? My Savior. Well, today is indeed a special day in the life of this church. And some of you may be wondering why Pastor Dennis isn't here. It's because he and Joanna are at home praying for us right now. And because they love us and they're fully supportive of this whole process, and they just wanted Dustin to be totally and completely free in what he says this morning. And we want you to be in prayer for this whole procedure as a church this coming week. I want you to pray for it. Next week we'll be making a momentous decision in the life of our church. This is the first time we've gone about this in this way. And it's been exciting. It's been done with some trepidation. But we believe that this is where God is leading us. And we're excited about that. And I'd especially ask that this week, you pray for Dustin and Dennis. We know that this is something that God has laid on their hearts. But we also know that this is something that Satan does not want to happen. And so we just pray, and we want you to pray for them this week, that God would put his hedge of protection around them, that they would sense his presence in a way that they've never felt it before, and that they would be at peace. And pray for the church, that as we come to this decision, that we are one in mind and in heart, and that the decision that we arrive at, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, is what God has called us to do. Okay. I'm going to ask Dustin to come up now. We'll pray for him. Father, we thank you for the way that you have led this church, for all these individuals from different backgrounds that you've brought together, because you love us and we have grown to love you. We want to serve you. We want to be your hands and feet in this community. And we thank you for these precious men that lead us. We just pray for Dustin as he shares with us this morning. We pray that as we gather together again this evening to share together, to get to know Dustin and Carla in a little bit different way, that we would sense your presence and your peace and your joy. Father, just be with Dustin as he shares the word with us now, and bless him through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate that. And again, the support that Dennis and I both feel from the leadership here is absolutely incredible. And we just want to, we are continually, just want to say it continually, that we are thankful for the elder team that we have here, and the support that we as a staff feel from them is something that doesn't exist everywhere necessarily. And we are very, very thankful. We appreciate how special it is here in that. But as we begin this morning, let's fire up our Bibles, or open them, as you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to read a few verses out of that. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. And I'd like to just read that for you, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today as we talk about a number of things. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. Jesus is here speaking to his disciples and meeting with them in the upper room as he prepares for the crucifixion. He's talking about some last things with them, giving them a little bit of an idea what's to come, and they don't get it at all. But in fairness, we probably wouldn't either if we were in that room with them. We've got the whole story, and they didn't. So, but John chapter 14, verses 1 to 12, Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And then perhaps the most tone-deaf thing ever said, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." As if he didn't just say that. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Amen. This is a weird day, a little bit. Some of you are here for the first time, and welcome to you. I am excited to have you here. We are excited to have you here to worship with us this morning, to fellowship with us, but you came on a weird day. Sorry. This isn't going to be quite a normal message this morning. As Ed mentioned, as a church, we are going through a season of change. The board, a couple of weeks ago, brought forward a proposal for a succession plan between Pastor Dennis and myself, that he would become the associate pastor and I would become the lead pastor, according to the word that the Spirit spoke to Pastor Dennis about 5 years ago now. Dennis brought that word to me as we prayed together at the youth pastor's retreat a couple of years ago. And then as we prayed through that together, we brought that to the elder board shortly after. And for a couple of years, we talked and prayed about this as a leadership team, and we feel that this is the direction that God is leading this church. And so then we brought that proposal to you this fall. We've had some meetings together as a church family over the last couple of weeks, and I can't tell you how encouraging and humbling it has been to be a part of this process, that Dennis and the elders have invited me to be a part of this process. The unity and the encouragement we've seen at these meetings as we've discussed this, as Ed said, monumental change has been incredible. God is clearly at work. And as we seek his face and the leading of his Spirit together, this unity brings him glory. Whether or not we all necessarily agree or sense in any particular direction, it's this heart and hunger for unity and healthy relationships that we have seen in this church that is everything. It's a beautiful thing. This morning I want to share two things with you. I wasn't entirely sure what this was supposed to be today. A traditional candidating Sunday is kind of a chance for the church as a whole to meet a stranger, really. By this point, the board and maybe the search team and a few other individuals would have met this person that you're considering calling, but the wider church might not have ever met this individual before, and this might be the first chance you've ever seen their face. And so you would hear this person preach, and you would maybe get a little bit of a sense of their heart as you consider calling them into ministry into your church, but also just, I mean, practically, it would be, can this person preach? Do we like the way they talk? Now, over the last decade, I'm going to guess you've probably made up your mind as to whether or not you kind of like my particular style of preaching, so we're not going to worry about that too much this morning. I'm not going to convince you one way or the other. So this morning, I kind of thought I would share two things with you. As I thought and prayed about what to share, I realized it has been a decade that I've been here, and many of you are around 10 years ago when I first shared a little bit of my story on this stage. But our church has grown and changed a lot over the years, and a lot of you might not know my story all that well. Even as we've walked together and served together, sometimes you don't get into the weeds that far in a person's life. So this morning I want to share a little bit of my story, and then I want to share what I see here at Leduc Fellowship Church. Pastor Dennis and I talked about whether or not he should be here this morning, and humble and gracious man that he is, he asked very openly and genuinely if I would like the freedom of him not being in the room this morning. And I told him, of course, that I would very much love for him to be here with us while I share these things, because I'm not afraid to speak anything in front of him. But he felt that he wanted to give space for me to share whatever I wanted without any interference. And as he said last week, he didn't want his absence this morning. He emphasized this a lot. He did not want his absence this morning to be interpreted as anything other than that desire to give me space and freedom, that he supports me and LFC absolutely and completely in his heart. I know he is here with me today. He texted me this morning, said, I am praying for you right now. I asked him what he was doing. He said he was in his jammies. While I know he wanted me to feel free to share however I wanted, I told him that really he'll just be escaping a little bit of embarrassment this morning, because there is nothing I can share about my story, my journey with Jesus and with Dennis as a leader and mentor, that would be anything other than deeply appreciative and complimentary of him. Dennis is an incredible leader. He is an amazing pastor. And he has been one of the most important relationships I have had in my entire life. I am the man, the pastor, the leader, the follower of Jesus I am today, due in huge part to Dennis's pouring into me. His example in life and ministry has shaped me in more ways than I can understand. And I pray so hard that God will let us continue to minister together for years and years to come. But my story begins at a very young age, as many of ours do. I was born into a Christian home to parents that love Jesus a lot. They would be here too, but they're holidaying in Montana right now, so that's fine. My dad's probably on the golf course right now, but maybe he's praying for me too. But my parents love the church a lot. Growing up, my parents showed me that Jesus was our first priority. The church was a huge part of that emphasis. I am so blessed to be able to say that my mom and my dad are the greatest disciplers in my life. I know that is not true for everybody. And I know how special that is, and I appreciate it. That they worked so hard to give me opportunities to experience Jesus in real and personal ways. Growing up, I can count on one hand the number of times we missed church. When I got to college, one of my first Sundays, I decided that I am an adult now. No one cares. No one is watching. So I am not going to church today. I am going to sleep in and relax and make my own choices. I am a night owl, and so I would have very happily slept until noon or later, no problem. But that particular Sunday, I woke up bright and early, wide awake at 6 a.m., and I could not go back to sleep for the life of me. But I laid there stubbornly all morning. I did not go to church. I was asserting my independence. And I felt so guilty and restless that I went to an evening service that night. Now, church attendance out of guilt is obviously not what God is going for here. And that was a part of it, but a huge part of it, and even more so, not being silly in it. My parents instilled in me a deep hunger for spending time with the body of believers. That matters. If you are a follower of Jesus, we should be filled with a desire to connect with his people, to worship together with his children. And that is something I feel very deeply. I grew up at Hilda Baptist Church, a church of about 60 in a town of about 10. It's a wonderful and a special place. It's the kind of church where you learn to serve. If everybody doesn't do everything, then nothing happens. And so as young people, we were drawn into service and leadership at young ages, teaching Sunday school, leading youth group, leading worship, helping with maintenance on the building. We were involved. We learned that church is family. That church doesn't happen by accident. It's people working together. Pinecrest Camp was a huge part of my growing up years as well. I gave my life to Jesus when I was about 5 years old, but at Pinecrest Camp, I began to understand what a relationship with Jesus looked like. I rededicated my life to him, probably every summer out there. But I learned to worship. I learned about and experienced leadership and discipleship as a counselor and a skills leader. I was baptized when I was 14 years old at Hilda Baptist Church. And we were supposed to have a special verse that we chose. Mine was John 3:16. And I didn't write it down because I thought, it's John 3:16. And Pastor Bob said, you probably should write it down. I said, it's fine. And I got in the tank, and do you think I could remember for the life of me John 3:16? He primed me for God so. For God, so he had to walk me through the entire, it didn't prime anything. I couldn't remember a single word in the whole verse. But eventually we got through it. After high school, I went to NABC. And in my second year, Carl and I started dating. My academics suffered around that time. I'm not sure why. But after my second year at NABC, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I knew coming out of high school that I was going to do a year of Bible school, and that kind of rolled into 2 years, but I did not know at all what I wanted to do with my life. So I left to find work. And during that season, God began to work in my heart that he had a deeper discipleship that he wanted me to pursue. I didn't know what that looked like, but I started to feel a real restlessness that God was calling me towards something. While I was working as a gas well operator, my good friend Chris called me about an opportunity to go to YWAM in South Africa. I had gone to Tijuana a couple of times as a high schooler, building houses and doing things there, and I thought that this was an interesting experience, a short-term missions thing, and I thought maybe a longer short-term missions experience might be what God is drawing me towards. So Chris called me and said that there's a DTS in South Africa. Now, Chris and I had a silly dream since high school to go cage diving with great white sharks. That was what we wanted to do. And the place to do that is a place called Shark Alley, which is right off the coast of Cape Town. So this was our dream. And I never thought it would actually happen. High schoolers have all kinds of dreams and plans that they make. But he called me up. He said, there's a DTS in Cape Town, South Africa. I said, awesome, let's go. What's a DTS? And he started to explain to me that a DTS is a discipleship training school. It's a six-month discipleship and spiritual development school. And as I looked into it, God clearly spoke that this was what I had been hungering for. This was what he was leading me toward. And that 6 months in South Africa was one of the most formative times of my life. God spoke in powerful ways. He molded me in important ways. And it set me on the journey to ministry that God had always been preparing me for. And at the end of it, we did indeed go cage diving with great white sharks. And it was awesome. After YWAM, God told me to go finish my schooling, finish this degree that I had started. So I returned to NABC, now Taylor. I graduated with a double major in psychology and theology. And then I wasn't sure again what was going to happen after graduation, but Judd Stoddy, many of you know him from our Tijuana trips. He was the youth pastor at Central Baptist in Edmonton at the time. He called me up and he said that they had a summer internship that he wanted me to take a look at. And again, God had kind of been priming me that maybe ministry, maybe being a pastor was going to be a part of that journey. But how do you test those waters without hurting a church? How do you go try it out for a year or two without doing more damage than good, building relationships and then leaving? And so I thought a summer internship for 3 months where I'm not the guy, I'm just a part of the ministry, that's a great way to kind of test the waters and see if this is a healthy way for me to do that. That summer internship wound up stretching into almost 3 years serving at Central. Carl and I were married during that time, and God really began focusing the direction that our life was going to take together. After 3 years, the director of student ministries at Central, my time there was coming to an end. I could sense that. I could hear God kind of preparing that restlessness in my heart. Once again, I wasn't sure what God had next, but my experience with him was becoming more and more that I knew when I would know. God would be clear when he needed to be. I just had to be patient. So in that season, I thought about pursuing psychology again. I had enjoyed that very much. I thought about joining my dad on the farm, maybe taking over that business over time. But then Pastor Dennis took me out for lunch. He talked to me about the associate pastor job here at LFC. And as I prayed about these different paths, God spoke more clearly than I've ever experienced. He said, I could choose psychology or farming. Those were good choices. There's no rebellion in that. I could serve him there. I could do good things in those places. I could be a part of the kingdom and building the kingdom there. But if I wanted what he had for me, I was supposed to come and serve at LFC. Well, that's a no-brainer for me. Jesus is the only thing I have ever cared about. He is the most important thing to me, always has been and always will be. He is my first priority, and so there was no choice to be made. On January 1st of 2010, Carla and I accepted the call to serve here. And it's been the joy of our lives to be a part of this church family. This is a special place. The things that God has allowed us to be a part of here are so special to us. This is our family. This is our home. And we love it. All three of our children were born while we were here. I completed my Master's of Divinity in 2014 while I served here. I was ordained by this church on behalf of the North American Baptist Conference. This is a special place to us. But all of that said, what I want for me and my family, what I want for this church, is what God wants. That's what makes this feel really weird. This isn't a job interview. This isn't an effort at self-promotion. I'm not trying to win anything or convince you of anything. Because what I want for us is what God wants. And that's what we need to pray about. What is God leading us to? Where is He taking us? Who is He wanting to put in place in leadership of His church? I am passionate about Jesus. I hope that comes through. I'm passionate about His word. I'm passionate about the work of the Spirit in me, in us, in our community. I'm passionate about the church and this church. I've said it lots of times here. The church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. The church can be messy. It can be hard. Working together with people always is, but it's wonderful and life-giving. It's the way that God has chosen to work in the world. I'm passionate about missions. I've led teams to Mexico many times. I love to be a part of what God is doing around the world and to be a part of giving people a taste of who God is in new and challenging ways as we step out of our own comfort zone and context. I'm passionate about camp ministry. And as a church, we've been involved in Camp Caroline with our retreats and things for years now. The leadership and the spiritual development that happens in the lives of young people in that environment is so amazing. It was huge in my own life. I'm passionate about our denomination, the North American Baptist Conference, the work we get to do together. As we share resources and vision to build the kingdom in ways that any individual church couldn't do on their own. I'm passionate about Leduc. About this city, about the people here, the schools and businesses, organizations and services, the sports teams and clubs. God is at work here in so many incredible ways. There's so many opportunities for us as a church family to pour into this community, to share the love of Jesus and the hope of the gospel. God has placed this church here. He has gathered us here to serve, to love, to preach, to care, to sacrifice, to partner, to be His presence here and now. When I think about LFC, this church has had an incredible impact on people, on this city, in the world. The lives that have been touched, the needs that have been met, the people that have been cared for. The things we've walked through together, new babies, new relationships, weddings, illnesses, hardships, deaths, celebrating and grieving together. The larger things we've been a part of, the food bank, the Boys and Girls Club, AHS, voting, countless weddings and funerals, trainings and gatherings for countless organizations and groups, people gathering together, being cared for, experiencing the love of Jesus, even just in the opportunity to share this space. Around the world, we've been at work in Brazil and Ethiopia and Kenya and Tijuana. God is at work. And He is at work through this church, through you, through us. When I think about LFC, I see unity, I see service, I see mission. And in and around and under and through all of that, I see Jesus. A group of people trying to follow Jesus together. Trying to do what he's calling us to do. Walking intimately with God and inviting others to journey with us. In John 14, Jesus lays out two things that are absolutely huge for us. The first is who he is, and the second is who we are. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is it. There's nothing else. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is life. He is hope. He is freedom. He is joy. He is salvation. He is everything. And we need him. Everything else flows from that. But in John 14, 12, he tells us what we are going to look like. He makes this incredible, confusing, unbelievable promise. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." His words. What does he mean here, that we will do better miracles than him? That we will have better ministry, that we could sacrifice more than he did? Of course not. Because he's not talking about what you or I can do individually. Jesus is here talking about his church. And I think in his mind, he was seeing the impact that billions of followers over thousands of years would have. Each of us desiring to follow him individually and together. Seeking his face. Sensing his spirit. Trying to see where he is at work and joining him there. Jesus is it. And the church is his body, his presence, his hands and feet here and now. And LFC is a part of that. It's not work. It's not a burden. It's joy. It's worship. Pastor Dennis talked a couple of weeks ago about the miracle of Jesus making water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And one of the incredible things that miracle communicated was that the kingdom is about joy. It's about celebration. It's a party. We are free. We have new life, abundant life in Jesus. God is fun. God is good. It's not all sacrifice and heavy and serving and tiring. God is life. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And being together, being the church, is supposed to be a celebration of that. And I see that here. I love this place. I love this church, and I would love to continue to serve here, but far more importantly, I want what God wants, what his spirit is leading us all to. So as I lay my story before you and what I see in this church, that is what truly matters. What does God have in store for us? How is he speaking? How is his spirit speaking to us, to you? Let's listen, and then let's join them there. Let's pray together. The worship team can come up. Father God, I thank you for the church. I thank you that you love us and care about us, and that you have chosen for your presence here today to be a family, to be a relationship, to reflect that relationship that exists in the Trinity. God, we do that in broken and selfish ways all the time. We struggle together. We don't always agree. We don't see things the same way. But God, your Spirit is alive and you draw us together. God, I thank you for the unity I see here at LFC, our desire to follow you together, to put your good, your mission, your priorities first as we try to set our own needs and wants and fears aside. God, as we've had the opportunity to serve together all these years, I thank you for that. I thank you for the ways that this church family has poured into me and my family, the care and love and discipleship that we have experienced here. And God, as we consider moving forward together, we pray that you would speak and speak clearly. We want to follow you together. We want to go where you're leading. We pray that it'll be so in Jesus' name. Amen.